And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a feared here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of freedomsfoenix.com. We're going to be going tomorrow morning to Freedom Fest in Viva Las Vegas, baby. And then we're going to go to Narco Vegas the day after that's over on Sunday. So we go, I think it started last night. Tonight. I think tonight, Freedom Fest, and then it goes through Saturday night, and then Sunday will be at the secret location. They're not telling us until because they don't want to shut it down again like they did before. Why did they shut it down? The D Casino said, nope, you can't have it here because Larkin Rose is speaking. What? So I didn't get in the middle of that, don't care. But I'm just, this is how they control you and use you and stuff. Which is what we're going to be talking about a lot of this stuff. And I think Mr. Paul Rosenberg, Free Man's Perspective, is going to be in Vegas. Are you not there, Paul?
I am indeed.
Well, that's cool. You going to stop by and say, yo, what's up?
I will.
Well, we're going to be doing the show. We'll work it out how we do this, but I'm going to take my Comrex. I might be using Free Talk Live's table, but I bring my own equipment and so on, and then we'll do the show probably Thursday, Friday. No, Friday. No, just Friday. Okay, Donna says Friday. Friday, and then maybe Monday, because we're going to be staying till then. Now, what are you going to be speaking on there before we get into your Parallel Society latest newsletter of, I got a bunch of highlights here we're going to need to talk about, but what are you going to be talking about in Viva Las Vegas, baby?
I'm going to be talking about surveillance, VPNs, and darknet, or dark web.
Thank God. You know, this has been, just in the last couple days, this is not like a big giant surprise to me. I mean, we've been covering the tech and where it's going and so on. But, man, it is getting bad to the point. Truth Stream Media, Aaron Melissa Dykes had a Melissa did this one, I think, last night I watched it. Do people realize they are creating their own overlords? And I saw a meme that said, when AI's your boss, you're the robot. And I went, woo. Yeah. That's scary. And what they're talking about here, one of the things, is they're putting Alexas in the Marriott's, Westin Hotels and Resorts, Aloft Hotels, St. Regis's. You know, they got, because we love you so much, we're progressing, we're cool. You know, you got this Alexa right next to your bed. So
yeah.
I'm going, I'm feeling not so great. Then I watched the Neuralink thing last night of Elon Musk about how they're going to, hack the brain. And I'm just going, damn, we got damn. So we need to talk about this stuff. So you're like, we all this, whatever we plug our brain into, we'd probably better off being private, anonymous, something, and I'm sure that's a lot of what you're going to talk about. In the future, as we're getting all interfaced and so on, are you looking forward to the computer interface? Are you afraid of it? Are you a Luddite? What?
Well, I don't really have any plans for messing with my brain. I kind of like it the way it is. If somebody wants to, I talked to a guy years ago, a scientist who was working on essentially a chip that he could was thinking about being able to implant in the brain. So essentially you would just have the Wikipedia database so you can just know anything by looking it up inside your head. And, you know, if that's all it is and it's self-contained and you want to do it, well, that's fine. I won't complain. But when you do it, oh, we're going to connect you to the cloud. That means that they own everything, which is what Google is already. And it's what Facebook is already, about two-thirds of the way there. It's really evil what they are doing. And they're just taking advantage of human weaknesses, and they know they are. They know they've suckered people in. They know they've addicted them. And they're just, you know, a vampire parasite upon humanity.
Donna was making the point. She's like, I don't want, don't ever get one of those, put it in the house. I don't want it in the house. I go, are you kidding me? I want Jarvis, not Alexa. You know, I don't mind having my own artificial intelligence. I want my, you know, my ship going to be smart, do whatever I want. My house, I have no problem with Jarvis, but it was internal. It was private. It was his. It was Tony Stark's. It was mine. It didn't go outside, didn't influence, you know, what I wanted. It just did what the hell I told it. It was my smart, conscious house of freaking mine. But what they're talking about is they want to have all those sensors, all the internet of everything, all of the interface with you, and it goes outside to the man. And I'm going, hell no. That is definitely my line. Now, how much I want to automate and how much I want and do and kind of have a switch, a hard switch in my pocket or a comm badge or something like that, the interface or something, I want to have, the controls. But that's not what they're doing. What do you think those are offering us? What kind of conditions are we going to be, to interface with technology?
Well, they will sell you, they will give you whatever you will take, and that is they will, I wrote a book on this, they will, two books.
they Breaking Dawn, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, they will control your thoughts, they will pump you with information, and look, Facebook and Google already know your weaknesses. When you do something stupid and screw up, they know why. That's their job, is to find out why you do stupid things and how you do it. And what are the triggers they can get you to do things? Because they watch. They watch what your wife or kids or your friends or the news, how it triggers you and how you do things in response to it. And they record it and they learn how to use it. That's what they do. How else are they going to juice their profits for the next year? They're not going to do it with ads for skis. I mean, please, that's over 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's what they do. And the whole thing rests upon us being so stupid that we go, oh, it's free. I have to have it because it's free. That's it. That's what it rests upon. And the moment we say, you know what, I don't want your free crap, it ends.
You know, in this,
it's amazing.
In this, you don't want their free crap. Okay. And that was kind of one of a clear and compelling vision. Now, I got the impression that this is the first of a two-part. I mean, you're going to have another part of this?
No. That one's one part. Actually, next month, I'm going back to the old format for a month because I have some really cool stuff to talk about in depth.
Okay, well, this is, I just kind of got the impression there was more coming, or this is a continuation, or this is a mission.
Right. It will be a continuing page that we're just going to keep because I want to have it clear, a clear statement of what we're looking for, what we want to do, where we're going, what we think. Now, it's never going to be a perfect statement, and you notice that I talked about that. But I want it to be there as something we see regularly. It's important to have an image of where we're going. And I think being able to see it every month or every other month, whatever it is important.
It has, our vision. We're building a decentralized, voluntarist model of human flourishing with the golden rule as our primary standard of conduct. And one of them is, will this, will that, will that. One of them is, we reject obedience as a virtue. And I go, that's a bumper sticker right there. We reject obedience as a virtue. That is definitely a bumper sticker. But there's a lot of other things in here, and it kind of talks about money a lot, and we'll get into Facebook and their Libra a little. That'll send us off in directions. We'll be right back.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
When we come back, I want to make sure you get in your vision here. I mean, this whole thing was, you know, I got a lot of highlights, but I know what's going to happen. The second we touch Facebook and Libra and everything, we're done. You know, we're going to go off in the la-la land on that. The the audience knows this. Maybe I'll mention it, but I just want you to know. I went to Pork Fest, Fork Fest, and so on, and I was just really... I was not articulate enough at the time. I was tired, whatever. But they did a Bitcoin forum on crypto in 10 years, and it was Jeffrey Tucker and the redhead bombshell babe Bitcoin, what's her face, and I think Chris Pesia, and you know some other guys that you know names familiar, but I don't care.
Okay.
So they're up there doing their spiel on and it's great and wonderful and you know the kind of the same thing arguments that you're making here. But the one thing that really pissed me off, and I just, God, he should know better. Jeffrey was, private companies and private company, private company, private companies, and all these great and private companies. And I'm going, since when the fuck is Facebook and Google a private company? Okay?
Oh, hell no.
I'm so sick of hearing that. So I'm
ask me about it. I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And we'll use nice words. But... You know,
yes,
that right there, it's so obvious that these guys, Corbett did a really good piece on Silicon Valley, the secrets of Silicon Valley. The secrets of Silicon Valley, the history, and it was awesome. And that kind of made the point I wanted to make. All right, here we go.
At broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, you know all that cool crap in Johnny Quest? I can buy it at Walmart now! Yep. Now I'm going to rent me my own drone and flying platforms of stuff. Oh, yeah. Holy crap. I almost forgot. Damn it. I don't want to get off. I got to mention this. The guy that created the Dick Tracy flying platform that did the water jet thing, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure. I remember Dick Tracy, but I'm not sure of this detail.
Okay, there is. It's called a flyboard. Are you at a computer?
Yeah.
Okay, do this. We got to do this, and we're going to get into your thing. Got to do this. Just put in there a video search for Flyboard Test 1. Flyboard Test 1. You'll see a video. Just play it back there, and you'll understand. It's like you're standing on... it's the size of like 18 inches square. I mean, it's not, and it's got.
Oh, I know what this
the
is.
The jet engine.
Water powered.
I'm sorry?
It's with water?
Okay, no, he's the guy that invented that, but he made one with a jet engine you stand on, a little bitty platform, goes 10,000 feet, 20 minutes, the backpack is a fuel cell, okay?
Holy crap. crap. I can't see it. I'm using a VPN that my signal bounces along the, around the world, and
right. And
they don't like the country I'm coming from. They won't show it to me.
Okay, so this has been around for a few years. Of course, you know they're going to militarize
right.
it. Paris had yes. their, you know, we got guns still kind of parade thing, and they have their armies and stuff out there. He comes flying out carrying a rifle. And here's a guy, Dick Tracy platform. Dick Tracy, I told you, man. Dick Tracy platform, okay? And he's going around just like Dick Tracy had their little platforms and a gun. And of course we do. I mean, here it comes. And
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, all right. You can look at that. Flyboard test one, you know, watch it, and you'll go, damn, how did I not know this? This thing's been flying around for a while. All right. Now, in your latest newsletter, Free Man's Perspective, Parallel Society, we have it in our power to begin the world over again. Now, they can go to Free Man's Perspective, and you can sign up for Paul's newsletter. I encourage it. Once a month, you get and kind of doing damn. You know, a lot of good insight and some factuals and actuals and news and so on. But yeah, the three things that you're kind of, you know, warning about, it boils down to three primary factors here of, you know, the state and state-like structures that have millions of people say, ooh, you know, save me. You have the use of force or monopoly or obligation to do it, the control of money, and then this kind of shared drama in the state, the star of this ongoing soap opera, you know, so
right.
like entertainment. But then it gets in, you, as you always focus a lot, on money. So I want to talk a little bit about this Facebook crypto thing and what you think's going to happen with it.
Okay. You know, it's really hard to know what's going to happen now, and I'm certainly not going to be using this thing. Facebook is just, you know, repugnant in the extreme. But it's interesting. I actually wouldn't be shocked if in the end, some good things came out of it. For one thing, what they have just shown is that the great fear of cryptocurrency was always just BS fear. So it was always, oh, you're going to get in trouble. It's not approved by authority. No one will do it. If it was important, it would be on TV and I'd know about it. And all of a sudden, that all goes away because here's Facebook and Andreessen Horowitz and Visa and everybody else doing what? A cryptocurrency. So all of this instinctive, you know, fear, you can't do that, it's wrong, it's bad, there's something wrong with it, it must be bad, all of a sudden that has no more foundation. And that's a big deal. How that affects everything, it affects, you know, a billion people in a billion ways, but it's really important.
No, I understand
that's
going to...
fear has been proved wrong.
I understand, well, what's their fear? That it's not approved? You know, they're going to get arrested, you know, it doesn't do what it says. I mean,
well,
once you get the grandkids know that, yeah, it does it good, and we're done, and we're off of you, they had to have some kind of a replacement for the petrodollar. This, I'm just smelling big bank all over this thing.
Well, I think Facebook would like it to be a replacement bank and to give them their own currency monopoly of sorts. Who knows what exactly is going on in their heads? And certainly the previous generation of money masters are concerned about it. But for another thing, it's just teaching people how to use cryptocurrency. And, you know, that's a useful thing. The fear is, of course, that people will just get sucked in deeper into Facebook and just become, you know, robots.
You know, to look at the dollar the way it is now with credit cards, your bank, your debit cards, all that, it's not going to look any different than that. You know, by, you know, grandma using it is not going to know any different. Yeah, whatever. You know, this thing may be easier online, or I don't know why she would even think that. They do a credit card, they save it in there, you got an Amazon account, it just automatically deducts, you know, from your account, and you buy and you push and you click and you get, the difference is going to be that they can surveil me more. You know, I'm not, they're not going to be private. And that was one of the things I was upset at the forum they had at Porkfest, and I'm going, where's privacy? Is that even an issue anymore?
Yeah.
Wasn't even a subject.
Yeah. Wow, that's sad.
They're giving it up for, you know, compliance and convenience and wide adoption. Wide adoption. I had Jimmy Song on, and we spent an hour. We're going to do another show next week. He's going to come on for 2 hours and try and convince me why Bitcoin maximalism has got to be Bitcoin of Bitcoin. And his big thing is that the inflationary aspects of the money supply, that's the end-all, be-all. Well, what about privacy? What about, you know, uncensorship? What about immutability? What about that? Nope, that's the only thing. You know, inflation, that's it.
You know, I love Bitcoin, but to say it's the only thing and may be the only thing is just wrong.
Your transaction fees go up again, you're done. You know, I mean, why would I put up with, no, $60, that's good. That, you know, pays more miners. What? Just Bitcoin maximalism BS. And of course, Tone Vase was at Porkfest too, and we got to hang and so on. We're good friends, but he and I, we see totally different on this. So Facebook doing their own currency, you're seeing the big benefit of that is that people will not go run screaming when they hear the word crypto. But as they're using it, I think they're going to mirror credit cards and bank accounts, and they're not even going to know the difference between the two.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they'll know the difference between the two because they don't get hit with 10 gazillion fees. That seems to be pretty well built into the Facebook coin. It will be fast. It will be virtually free. So there will be differences that people, I think, will see. I mean, we're all speculating at this point. But I think it will have advantages in that way.
If it's free, then you're the product.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
They are going to track every little thing.
They want your information. They want your commerce. They want to know what you do and how you do it. And then they own you. As long as you stay on their platform, they own you. That's their job, to own you.
To what end? You know, this has been, it's to they, them, those, surveillance grid of thank you. And that's where I get upset when these guys, private companies needing private companies and private companies. I'm like, who are you trying to... Kid, I mean, are you delusional? I mean, these are not private companies. You know, not remotely.
Remotely. Just because something's a private company doesn't mean they can do no evil. Private companies can be SOBs too.
You know, but I don't see these as, they're not autonomous. They're not without their state actors in there. They're not without their investment. They're not without their same goals. They're not without. You know, that was one thing I had.
Oh, Ernie, these guys are owned by the intelligence agencies. Owned by them
from the beginning.
They do what they want. Look, the boss of the FBI used to have an office inside of Facebook. I mean, his own office, a real office inside Facebook headquarters. The head of the FBI.
What?
Yeah, that's, you can look it up. It's not a secret. It's just something that isn't discussed. Assange wrote an entire book on how Google is the U.S. State Department.
Yeah, I read that.
It was a good book, too.
Oh, it was a book. I read the article in Newsweek or something about Eric Schmidt.
Yeah, which was also quite good. The book is just a better explanation of the whole thing.
Really?
Well, imagine you're a spy master, okay? You're the boss of whatever spy agency. And you've got these companies that are surveilling deep, deep personal surveillance of, what, a billion people, 2 billion people, 3 billion people?
A dream come true.
It's a dream come true, and you can just get it. You can just get the feed from these guys. Oh, my God. What spy master wouldn't be all over that? And they are.
Oh, You know, I don't want to miss a lot of these tidbits, and so we just went and break. So I want to, when we come back, though,
okay.
I don't want to miss, you know, these little tidbits about the FBI office, but there's a solution. I mean, that's kind of what you're offering here. We got to be careful of getting lulled into everything and anything for convenience. And I hear these guys, they'll sit there and they'll go, well, we already know that people will trade off any and everything for convenience. You know, convenience. They get cheap and convenience. We already know that, so we're going to start operating like that. And they got enough, I guess they've got enough brain damaged young guys or something that they think they can do it, and they're pulling the trigger, and here we freaking go. Yeah, it's 1984, yeah, man.
Honestly, I hate to you know, bring up the name Hitler, because it just you know, clicks in too many things. But he had the great line of all history regarding all this stuff. He says, "I have not come into the world to make men better. I've come into the world to take advantage of their weaknesses." Ooh. And that's what these guys are doing.
And it seems like they're fomenting weakness. You know, they need weakness. They need this toxic masculinity that's threatening their ability to rule you. You know, toxic masculinity. You know, it's like a plan. You know, I'm just wondering where it goes and for what end. It only makes sense if they're going to, you know, like lay waste to a bunch of people. And then at the end, oh, aren't you glad you survived and we saved you? You know, ugh.
All right, here. Look, they want control. It's crack cocaine to these people.
Yeah,
that they're twisted that way, and they want control. They want to be the one who pulls the strings.
And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock.
Just yakking it through the break. If you're on the live stream, you get it all. You go to the archive. You know, during the breaks when I let the guests actually talk. You got motivated now, aren't you? All right. One thing you mentioned, I want to make sure that the live audience gets. You're talking about the head of the FBI and Facebook. What? Say that again.
The head of the FBI, the director, had an office inside Facebook's headquarters. I mean, it wasn't secret information. It was a story that went around some years ago. It just didn't, you know, get reported by the things most people listen to. But he had an office in Facebook. Assange did a great book on how Google is the U.S. State Department. A really good book, an interesting book. All this is known. This isn't a secret. They don't report it on CBS News, but it's true just the same. And if you think about it, if you're a spy master, and all of a sudden you've got these companies that you can just get stuff from whenever you want, and they're surveilling 2 or 3 billion people, deep surveillance. They know which kid you prefer. They know what kind, everything about you. And they're going to walk away from that? Please.
No. No, they created it. You know, what was it they called it? LifeLog. You know, LifeLog was, you know, a program, NSA, it was Facebook. And then they had faith. They cut LifeLog, and the next day Facebook's born. You know, I'm going, okay.
I mean, you know, I can't speak to the beginnings of it because I really don't know. But if they didn't, they would have. And if not, they just took it over. It doesn't matter either way.
Yeah, it was common.
They're joined at the neurons.
And we have the Internet of Things and the and current. And now it always comes down to, you know, the little anarchist decisions you think you're making when you buy something, and then it's tracked. So this, I'm wondering what kind of advantages those have with using the Facebook crypto that they're planning. Does that give them more tracking ability? Are they going to be able to? Are they going to make, you know, more and more alternatives illegal? I mean, what's the game plan here?
You know, it's hard to say at this point, Ernie. I just don't know. According to the papers they put out, it's not going to be an information drain as bad as we think it might. But you know, that's just the paper they put out. Who knows what it's going to be in actual practice?
It's going to be connected to your Facebook account.
Oh, it's insane! I know.
Yeah. You know,
but they're saying you can also have your own wallet and use it separately as well. Who knows? I we're all just guessing at this point. But considering that it's coming from Facebook, I don't plan on touching it.
Well, what about as an internet? See, I can see like Russia and China. They're going nope. Nuh-uh, not going to.
Yeah, because everything they do there goes right to American intelligence. The same thing with Google.
Yeah.
It all goes directly to American intelligence. Well, or Chinese sometimes do, I think.
Well, it also could be a replacement for the petrodollar. You know, it seems like it's like Facebook might as well just call itself a central bank or something. If although,
perhaps, you know, the petrodollar is going away because, you know, all those third world places that, you know, they could control and were indebted to them, they're not quote unquote third world anymore. All these places, you know, technology works there too. And all of these places now have really reliable infrastructures and high rises and cars and highways and everything else. They're not quote unquote third world anymore. And they don't need to bow down to the West like they used to. And they're starting to realize it. And, you know, they've been abused all these years. And, well, they're going to make pacts between themselves. And, you know, some will do better, some will do worse, but they don't need the West anymore, and they don't need to have this petrodollar shoved down their throat anymore.
You know, that was one thing that I just saw. India and China and Russia, they're all being buddies. And India has 1.2 billion or something like that, a couple of billion China. After a while, you got half, hell, just two or three countries, you got half the freaking planet. And they are
You want to hear something crazy about India? They have a satellite orbiting Mars.
Here we go. Yep. I think, they were supposed to have a launch last week. They delayed it or something. They're going to land on the moon or something. You know, they got another moon.
I know they're planning it. I don't know about that launch, but yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to launch last week.
The technology works. This is 50-year-old technology. They can do it.
Well, one thing that I saw is that India has brought, just in the last few years, 200 million people out of poverty. Just by the and like you say, they're not a, you know, this hole in the wall anymore, or this a wide spot in the road or whatever. They're all of a sudden becoming a viable economy with some science and goodies and a lot of people. So this hegemony, this unilateral decision making U.S. says and done kind of, and everybody's going, you know, Putin's not so bad. So I'm going, wow, where's the future for the U.S.? And a lot of what you were talking about here in your newsletter, you're bringing up. I mean, the one thing that really stuck out to me was that one phrase: "We reject obedience as a virtue," and it's almost like the exact opposite. Obedience is a virtue. You know, ignorance is strength or truth, or, you know, work will set you free. I mean, all these really crazy ideas that you think you can get them into people's heads and they work. What's the future for the U.S.? What are you thinking about for 2020? And this vision that you have and the standard that you're doing might be more important now than ever. So where do you think we're going?
Well, you know, I draw a big distinction between the American people and the U.S. government. The American people, I think, have a brilliant future ahead of them. The U.S. government is, you know, a problem. All governments are a problem, and the U.S. government in some ways is less bad than others.
I screw the U.S. government then. I mean, I'm glad you made that distinction, is that, we're going to be fine. Screw them. I'm like, I'm for screwing them. Hell with them. I don't care. You know, so where do you think we're going? What gives you a positive outlook on the future?
Oh, because scarcity is dying upon Earth. We know how to grow more than enough food to feed everyone on the planet easily. We know how to give everybody a car, everybody a house, everybody sufficient medicine. We know how to do all these things. The information is in our libraries. The information is on the Internet. We're doing it in actual practice. The thing that stands in the way is this Bronze Age structure we call the state. And it's a bottleneck, and it's making things, it's keeping scarcity alive. But bit by bit, scarcity is dying. And once scarcity dies and people can get that into their heads, which is going to take a while, because a whole lot of stuff is built upon scarcity. You know, even, you know, young men show themselves fit to you know, Susie next door, who they hope to have, because, you know, they're competent with dealing with conditions of scarcity. They can get ahead. They can, you know, whatever.
They got more muscles than the other
guy. A lot of is built on scarcity, but it's dying. And that fact will ripple through humanity, and these structures that we have are scarcity are pro-scarcity. They promote scarcity. They require scarcity. You have to feel unsafe. You have to feel insecure. You have to feel confused. Otherwise, you'd never go along with this deal.
That's one thing.
They
make this argument that scarcity is going away, therefore universal basic income.
No, well, universal basic income is bad for the human soul. It's not. It's forget about it from the economic standpoint. It's got problems there as well. But it's humans are production machines. We're creators. That's the unique thing about humans. Is that we can reverse entropy. We can create willfully, alone in the known universe. We're the only ones. And that's what we do. That's what makes us happy. That's what makes us feel good. And if you just say, oh, here, we're going to give you a bunch of money, you can just sit in your house, doesn't matter if it's a mansion. You're still going to degrade as a being.
So what do we do? Humanity. Scarcity, not scarcity, we'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
One thing I want to share with you. We go to Porcupine Freedom Festival and the Fork Fest and so on. I do my presentations,
right.
And my big thing is like what Elon was doing. You know, we need, look what we've done. We need more help kind of thing. Well, there's a lot of people that are going, woo, you're so smart, and we want to help. So this is what's happened just in the last few weeks. We've gotten one thing that made a big difference was the Raspberry Pi 4 has come out, and you can get 2 terabytes on a solid-state drive for $50 now.
Is that true?
That's incredible. That's what a friend showed me. You know, Bobby's like, look, we were looking to go buy. And he goes, well, you might want to wait because look at this, you know. I'm like, holy crap.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Okay, this is what we've done. Let's see. We were able to have a guy, Thomas Friedman. He's a friend of the show and a friend, and he stayed here, and he's a good guy, and he's been helping a lot because he can. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten 5,917 videos loaded, and he wrote script to pull it from YouTube and put it straight to IPFS node. So we have, We Are Change, one channel, 366 videos. On another one, 2,168. World Alternative Media, 1,233. Truth Stream Media, 712. Press for Truth, 1,438. It goes on. So the thing is that I am creating the internet that we are syncing up the way we described it so that we can have this information available. And of course, Corbett and Freedom's Phoenix and Pirates Without Borders. So I am so concerned that I am not going to have access to these great videos that I know exist that I want to use to promote whatever the heck it is, a concept of here, just watch this video, because it saves me so much time. Look, I ain't got time to here, watch this, and then we'll talk, okay? If I don't have those available, which is what would happen when I would go to YouTube, especially after Google took them over, you would put them up on your site. There's my favorites, or this will be about that. Go to here, go to, and they're gone, and they're gone, and they're gone. And that's starting to happen again, and they're gone, and they're gone. So the ones that all this great knowledge that the movement has accumulated about, you know, everything, You know, the Federal Reserve, the century of enslavement, you know, the conspiracy of that, and whatchacallit of whatever, and all these things that are just so valuable and them taken in the way, the memory hole, we're living 1984. Well, this is the pushback. So I'm happy that we're able to do that. All right, wait a minute. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You know, one thing, Paul Rosenberg, it's always the truth and the light and the positive, you know, thinkings of, and I don't want to, you know, put a wet wool blanket on that, but, you know, one of the things that you go, you talk about quite a bit is the recognition of art being supported through patronage or philanthropy or the way it used to be. You know, you would have, you know, there used to be a time when people would compete to be patrons of talented artists or musicians or poets or whatever. That was a thing, you know, and then it got to where, you know, just like you have somebody, you will have a volunteer fire department, that's really popular, or a library they donate, that'd be really popular. They got security for it, that'd be really popular. Or you have, you know, art, that'd be really popular. Here comes the state, here comes the government, here comes the king. They come in, you know what? We need taxpayer-funded libraries and fire and police and art. And I'm going, wow, that always produces really good stuff. So I'm just, so elaborate on that concept of supporting the arts. What do you mean by that?
Well, whoever is, you know, a good artist, a real serious artist, whether it be painting or sculpting or as a composer or as a performer of music, whatever it might be, this person needs to be paid. They have bills like everyone else, and they need to be paid. We have a real problem with that these days. How is somebody supposed to be paid? I mean, I know from publishing that once, you know, the old regime broke, let's call it 1990-something, almost nobody makes a living as a writer anymore. It's just a few of us that have a niche, and most of us aren't really making a living on it. We're just, you know, supplementing income from other things. At one time, you could make a living if you were an excellent writer. You can't really do that anymore. I mean, you get the Harry Potter lady. Okay, fine. But that's, you know, there's like three of those.
You make a movie.
You know, so it's a real problem. We need to find a way to fund creators. I mean, what would have happened of Wolfgang Mozart in today's environment? He either has to do hip-hop, which he's not going to do, or you work maybe for a movie studio writing, you know, background pieces to some romantic comedy or something. Okay, he could survive at that. But we wouldn't have Mozart. We wouldn't have Beethoven like we do now. These guys were able to do it because they had patrons. Now, it wasn't a perfect system. It had all the usual human frailties and stupidities rolled into it. But at least these guys were able to work. What about the young person today who's extremely talented? How did they get paid? We need to fix this.
Universal basic income. The well, one thing that you did talk about was Patreon and GoFundMe and things like that.
Right.
And it was you know, see, what did you say here? It goes, services like Patreon and GoFundMe have had some success, but are still far short of keeping many artists productive full time. But whether by these services or some new avenue, we need to see great artists being lavishly paid. If people see that, we'll have a gusher of brilliant new art. Now, the thing is that the Patreon and GoFundMe, the ones that, you know, the things that need funding or people are support of, if they, them, those don't like it or it violates some social justice warrior of you're not allowed, boom, turned off, you're not allowed, and you're off the platform, you don't get any. You know, so that...
Right, these companies will bow to whatever authority, you know, looks at them sideways.
Yeah, bowing to authority. You know, this is right. We reject obedience as a virtue, and they have to play it off as a virtue because they'll, you know, the government will like kill you, you know, or turn off your bank account.
Obedience is, to obey is to shut down your own mind, to shut down your own will. And it's bad for you. It's not just non-development, but an anti-development of your own self. We improve when we make our own decisions, whether they're good or bad, and learn from them. If you just obey, well, then you shut down that process and you train yourself to be a cog rather than to be this majestic being that we're really designed to be.
You're a futurist, kind of looking forward, positive thinking kind of guy. What kind of economic system are we going to have? Star Trek? You know, we used to have money, now we got replicators. I mean, don't worry about AI, own your own robot. I mean, what is it you're looking to see happen and advocating for?
Well, I'm not advocating for anything in particular. I just want people to move forward, and then things will take their own shape as we go forward. What I think will happen is we will keep with cryptocurrency and whatever, other digital currencies. Crypto's not the only one. It's just the big one now, and it's fine. I'm really happy for it. But we will continue with private, decentralized sorts of currencies. And eventually, if scarcity really is eradicated, when we have, self-powered, when we have, fusion power and self-powered tractors and everything else, I think we're going to end up moving, at least in parts, towards an old-fashioned medieval gift economy, where people just, look, I got all this food. I'm going to set up a market because I like seeing people. Everybody come on in, and you can come into the market and, contribute this or do this, and money really won't matter as much because we're just going to have more food than we can eat. And more cars than we need to drive. People will go back to doing things because they love doing them. I know that sounds impossible nowadays, but it's actually not.
Do you ever read?
And I think that's where we're going.
James Hogan, the science fiction writer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the name, but I'm not sure I ever have.
I really enjoyed his work. I mean, the first one I read was Bug Park. It's a long story, but there was one called Voyage from Yesteryear, and they sent embryos to this far star system, and the first generation was raised by robots, okay? And then Earth comes to, claim their colony of we rule you now. And they had created a society that was based on your perfection, that whatever your job was. I mean, you're painting, did carpentry, whatever okay. It was. And so you have this technological ability to do whatever you wanted. And so the society evolved into, it was meritocracy of reputation. They didn't really have to have money. They just needed stuff done and they traded. And it was interesting how he depicted and how it came about that what humanity was capable of. And I'm going, I see that could happen, but then there's the 4 or 5% of the sociopaths that, need to be dealt with. Okay. So I'm wondering if we are a world run by sociopaths.
Well, to a much larger extent than we'd like, yeah.
It seems like it.
Well, the whole system is geared for it. This whole violence-backed status hierarchy, which is pretty much, every large thing. It's a flawed model. It's a animalistic, sociopathic sort of model. Again, violence, obedience is a virtue. It's not. And just so everyone knows, Jesus never told anybody to obey. Look it up.
I remember a friend of mine. He was a secretary at his church, and he was a big gun rights guy, and he always signed his emails, the Rebel Jesus. And the church made him take that down, or he couldn't be secretary. He goes, "Screw you, man! Now, what the heck do you think Jesus was?" I think he wound up leaving the church over that because he had the word "rebel Jesus." In culture here, before we run out of time, it said Gigantic crowds have opposed abusive Chinese extradition laws in Hong Kong. More than that, young people are loudly opposing aggressive Chinese internet surveillance and manipulation. Wonderful signs as I see them, you say in your newsletter. Now, what is the, and I understand the issue that extradition, China wanted to be able to go get people in Hong Kong, and they're like, no, you're not. And it, tell the people what happened and why that's encouraging to you.
Well, because a million or millions of regular people got off their butts and walked down to the center of Hong Kong and said, we're not taking this anymore. This is too much. We've put up with your crap. We've put up with this. We've put up with that. You've gone too far. We're not going to do it. Here are our bodies. Here we are. We give a damn, and we're not taking it.
You know, and I bet you they're... I'm sorry?
It's a big deal. What are they going to do against a million people standing there?
I don't know. Take their picture?
Yeah, well, take their picture, right. But, you know, they go after them, and anybody knows they lose their legitimacy. And any government, no government, not even the Soviets, could survive if people don't think they owe them obedience.
You know, I saw a... yeah, we're going to talk a little bit. Go to the live stream. You know, the there was a documentary I saw on the, I don't know, was it 30th anniversary or something? The on Tiananmen Square, and it went back to the late 40s and the 50s, and, you know, Tiananmen Square has been the site of, they got a cultural amnesia because they made sure they did, had. You know, they don't, you know, they don't have a 1984 to all the data. Well, what happened... during Tiananmen Square, the one in, what was it, 90 or so? They, it was...
89 or 90, I'm not sure.
It was amazing to me, the build-up to that and the fervency of the people and how, and then, you know, all right, damn it, you, all right, here comes the tanks, you know? And we'll just go back and forth and turn you into a hamburger and scrape you off with this, you know, backloader or whatever it was. And this is how they operate. And when Hong Kong does this, they go, oh, all you got to do, explain it to us. We'll go away. We're so sorry. Of course they're coming back. You know, in what form?
Sure. Mm-hmm. But remember now, all those things have their effects. After Tiananmen Square, China opened up economically quite a bit, which made a big difference there. Of course, you know, it's always with these guys, it's two step forwards, one step back. But it does make a difference.
Well, I'm looking for the freeing of America and for somebody to think the election of Donald Trump was it. And no. But the it's a side effect.
It was different. I'll give them that.
It's a sign of something. I don't think it's what they think. Now, a friend of mine, well, is Dr. Frank, you know, the Mr. Trump report. He goes, oh, Ernie, you got to see, take a look, oh, that's awesome. Because Trump had called in all the alternative media guys and, you know, we're going to this and that and screw them and they're liars and whatever. And he didn't invite Facebook and Twitter in them. And so then he had, I don't know, a whole lot different, but, you know, the alternative media that have hundreds of thousands of followers each. I mean, it's just amazing how much they get more hits than freaking CNN. So what happened was now he's another few weeks or so, he's going to have a meeting with them. He's like, you deal with me or you're dealing with them kind of thing. Well, they go, we control the internet and we got, you know, whatever. And, you know, they ouch quit it. But my whole position on this thing has been that there's something else coming. There's something bigger that's bad, something bigger that's good. This battle is a good evil thing, and it's going to make people pick a side. And they have to, their side they can pick is, I don't pick a side. I'm over here on my own side, which is a side as far as I'm concerned. You know, so I look to you to kind of give me this positive outlook on how it's going to manifest into a positive outlook for my grandchildren. Or do I got to look for a freaking island? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? What phases is it going to take?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to take all kinds of phases in all sorts of different directions, and it's going to bounce here and bounce there and go in crazy ways because that's just the way it happens. The ultimate safety, the ultimate form of progress is to change millions of minds. That's what it really comes down to on the end. Yeah, there's a time lag, and yeah, the sociopaths can do a lot of damage in between. But they're limited, too. If they do too much overt damage that isn't legitimated somehow, they bring themselves down pretty quick. So what we really need to do is just keep planting seeds, keep telling people the truth as best we can, let them absorb it as best they can, keep moving forward, keep getting the word out, keep giving it to them in ways they can understand and accept.
And it's, you know, Oh, how much time we got? Okay. This is my big revelation. I was back in New Hampshire, and a guy named Mike Sylvia is a guy that moved there from, I don't know, he went too far away, you know, Vermont or something. Free State Project. He becomes a legislator. He's in like his fourth term. And he pissed off some local whatever, cost him money, of didn't fund their whatever, because he's like libertarian. And, well, Republican, but, you know, Free State Project thing. And all of a sudden, he's living in this one small community where they had a fire on like 10 acres and burned down their double wide or something, but they had a barn. So he took his RV, bought it, got a good price for it, moved his RV into the barn and starts, you know, hanging out there. Oh, you're so not allowed.
Right.
You know, we got you now. Yeah. You know, and it goes back and forth. Hilarity ensues. But what happened was, is that it all came down to occupancy permits, because all of this, stuff about, you know, the water and you got a sustainable development and the agenda, whatever the hell, and yada, 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 yada. And he was talking about, and I'm going, oh my God, this is it. This is it, because I kept, what is the one thing that they control? That's why we have a pirate ship. They always know where you live. You always got to have a permit, blah, 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 blah. Where did this come from? It was after Kyoto and Rio and all the environmental blah, blah, blah in the late 80s, early 90s. It all came down to where they have what they call these universal United Nation building code thing. And in there, it has, they got to have all this or they don't get the occupancy permit. So I'm looking, you're talking about millions of people and change their minds or whatever. Well, the most that I get is always some campaign. You know, whether it was local here, Lovolution, or whatever. So I'm just going, you know, I'm feeling it. I think we got, you know, kind of busy up through the end of September. But by that time, I'm thinking we may have a statewide initiative campaign, kind of make a big deal out of, if it pleases the crown, may I dwell on my own land kind of thing.
You know what you might want to consider? Because they're going to go, you know, from the usual fear thing. Oh, well, you're going to get somebody who's irresponsible, and they're going to burn down their house, and it'll burn down the
guy's next door. Well, I'm thinking like unincorporated outside, you know, on whatever criteria bite me. And if you're in a homeowner association or municipality and already got something, that'll be a harder nut to crack. But I'm
You know, it's the better thing to do, I think, is just break their monopoly. Say, oh, we're going to allow independent certification of occupancy status.
Well, that would be like insurance and mortgages and banks, and that's what eventually rise up on its own anyway.
Yeah, well, right. But you get an independent route around the grossly inefficient and abusive and everything else building department that everybody who's in the business knows that they suck.
Oh, there you go.
And you get a route around it. You don't have to give up the building department. You don't have to stop funding them. You just allow independent certification. Make them take a 4-hour test to be certified. It's okay.
All right, think
People
about
will
this.
Do it. If I was younger, I would.
I got to get to my next hour, but think about this. It's this occupancy permit. How you take away that power?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And all of a sudden, boom, things change. I'm going to be a butthead about this. I've been waiting on this kind of thing. All right, man, I got to get going.
That's
talk to
fine.
You later.
We got a lot to talk about on that.
Yeah, we'll see you, up there in Vegas, man. See you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll look for you.
All right. Peace.